year. It started out really well. I actually went to Houston with Jennifer, and we were there with Jennifer's parents. We took the train. Have you ever taken the train? Have you ever taken Amtrak? It's actually not a bad way to travel if you can figure out how to sleep on the train in their coach seating. But if you can't figure that out, don't go by Amtrak. But if you can sleep in coach, it's not a bad way to go. But we had a great time being there and sharing time with the family, and it was just really a wonderful trip. When you're on the train, you get a lot of time to think. And I was thinking about 2018 and this process that we're going into, and the question that kept coming into my mind was this: if you could go back into the Garden of Eden, would you? If you could go back into the Garden of Eden, would you? Our Old Testament lesson, we realize that we were the last thing that God created, that He put His image in us. We are made in the image of God. He created all the other things of the earth, but when He created man, He put Himself, His imprint on our life, His Spirit near us. And then He gave us this incredible place to live where we walked with God in the cool of the day, and then sin came into the world and we were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and we've been living in pain and suffering in this daily life ever since. But if you could get back into the Garden of Eden, would you? Now, I know your first impression was, well, of course I would go into the Garden of Eden. Are you kidding? No more taxes. It would be awesome. I wouldn't have to worry about a thing. I could get to a place, where there's no more threat of global thermonuclear destruction. All this stuff I would love to get away from. It would be wonderful. But stop and think about it. If you were to go back into the garden, and if God took care of your every need, you wouldn't need any money. So you'd have to leave that outside the garden. You wouldn't need your phone. You wouldn't need internet, because God's going to take care of all your needs. You could leave that outside. You wouldn't need your skills. You wouldn't need your education. You wouldn't need your training. All that stuff that you say identifies you as to who you are, it's probably not necessary in the Garden of Eden. You got to leave that outside. Would you walk through the door? Now, this isn't heaven. Heaven is where you get a glorified body, right? Where all pain and suffering cease. So to go back into the Garden of Eden, you still have all the pain and suffering in your body. You still have all the broken relationships, all the things that's going on in your life. That would still be there, but they would begin to be healed in the garden. Would you go? And finally, what if you weren't sure about it? What if God just opened up the doors and just basically told you, you can come back into the garden, but He didn't put big neon lights around it, and it required faith to actually step through and get into the Garden of Eden? Would you do it? Would you go? It's not a simple question. This was kind of the premise of a movie. When I was a kid, I remember seeing this movie. Nobody ever heard about this movie. I'd be anxious to know if any of you know this movie. It's called Lost Horizon. You ever heard of this movie? It's about a plane that crashes in Tibet, and these people come and rescue all the survivors in the plane. They bring them to this place, and it is paradise. There's joy and happiness and food and love and everything you could possibly want in this little village. And they're enjoying it so much, but then the allure of their old life starts to attract them, and many of them want to leave. It's a very interesting movie. It was one of my favorite movies. It's a musical, and I got the LP, and I was looking it up online just to see if anybody knows about this movie. It's actually on many lists of the first 50 worst movies of all time. Which just goes to show you, don't ever take a movie recommendation from me. My wife will tell you this. But it points out an interesting thing. Would you be willing to give up your life to gain everything? Would you be willing to do it? We're going to talk about that this year. Because gaining your life, losing your life, and gaining everything is what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. And throughout 2018, we're going to talk about this thing called the kingdom of God. And quite honestly, it is way too much for us to cover on Sunday morning. And so, if you are onto social media, what you need to, this is crazy, I know, but if you are into social media, you need to be checking out the website, christinthevale.org. At the bottom, you can find the Twitter feed and the YouTube page and all that stuff. You got to subscribe to it. And what you will find on those pages in social media are going to be amplifications of what we're going to talk about on Sunday morning. And so I highly recommend that you do that. If you are not a social media person, if you are old school, God bless you. That's why I am that way too. This is kind of new to me. What I would like you to do is go through the Gospel of Mark, line by line, and take that phrase, kingdom of God, and see how Mark plays the kingdom of God. So either way, I want you to take time and reflect this whole year on the kingdom of God. Because that's what Jesus came for. From our gospel reading of Mark, it's just this little tiny line that's in there. You have the baptism of Jesus. He rises up out of the water. The kingdoms break open. A spirit like a dove descends on Jesus. John is put into prison. And then Jesus goes and calls his disciples. But before he does that, there's just this one sentence. And I believe this one sentence is absolutely key to all of Christianity. And it's crazy. I know. But it's right here. It's basically this, Mark 1, verses 14 through 15. Now John was arrested, and Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. And this is what he was saying. Now this is important. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Did you get that? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. I believe that you need to, this year in 2018, this needs to go deep into your heart, into your soul. And I just want to spend a little bit of time this morning talking about it because this is such a great, great little thing that Jesus said, a great big thing that Jesus said. He said, the time is fulfilled. Now, I don't know if you know this, but in Greek, there's actually two words for time. The first one is chronos, which is where we would get the word chronometer. It's basically that time moves forward in beats, or seconds, or hours, or minutes, or years, but there's a chronological order to time. It's called chronos. And the Greeks had a word for this very ordered way that time was done. But they had another word for time. And this one is called kairos, or you may have heard it kairos, because you can't know how to spell it or say it in Greek. But it's kairos time. And kairos time is not like chronological time. Kairos time is where you're walking along in chronological time, and then all of a sudden some life event hits you, and you kind of like step out of chronological time, and you think about what's going on. You think about your life. You think about the world around you. You go into this kairos time. It's like, I believe it's Maya Angelou, who said, life is not measured in how many breaths you take, that's chronos time, but in how many moments that take your breath away, that's kairos time. And Jesus said, we are now entering kairos time. The time has come. This big event where Jesus walks on the earth, where he restores humanity, this event, this kairos event, has happened. And what is it? He says, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God. Imago Dei in Latin. This kingdom has come. And what is the kingdom? It's the fact that Jesus came in flesh to do two things. The first thing that Jesus does in the flesh is to show us how to live as a child of God, as a child of the King. We just went through the whole entire Christmas season, the advent of the King. The King was born. Jesus is the King. And we are his subjects. We are fellow heirs of the King. We are not just some random thing. We are members of the royal family of God. The kingdom has come. And Jesus the King shows us how to live our lives as royalty. The kingdom has come. Now the problem is, as Jesus begins to show us how to live our life, what you will very, very soon discover is that you will not be able to live your life as Jesus says you should live your life. And you're going to feel alienated from God. You're going to feel that God hates you. And that's the second thing that Jesus did, was he died and rose again and is a redemption for your life so that you could walk with God again. He restores that relationship that was broken in the Garden of Eden. When he kicked everybody out of the Garden of Eden, he restores that relationship. And because he's restored that relationship, you are now a child of the King. The problem is we just don't live as it, as if we're child of the King. And Jesus says, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you what it means to live as a child of the King. It was an early 1900s theologian named Helmut Tielecki. He's a Lutheran theologian who lived in Germany. And he talks about it in one of his writings. He says, life is a dark forest. He says, man is walking through the dark forest of life in the gloom of night. Specters are lurking all around him, and strange sounds disquiet him. The dark forest is full of dangers. Modern man calls this weird sense of threat and danger the anxiety of life, fear of life itself. He would give a lot if there were someone to go along with him, someone who would put his hand on his shoulder and say to him, don't worry, I'm with you. I know the pitfalls. I know the dangerous cliffs. I know where the robbers lie in ambush. I'll get you safely through. As long as I am with you, nothing can hurt you. He would give a lot if this were so. Now look at this. Here is Jesus Christ teaching us, contrary to all appearances of life, that we really can say, our Father, and that there actually is a voice that will answer us. That's the kingdom of God. So rejoice. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now, what does Jesus say? He says two things. He says, repent and believe. Now, I know we've talked about this before, but the word for repentance here is not be sorry for your sins repentance. The word is metanoia, which means to have a change of mind. It's to look at life differently. It's to think about life differently. The early church called this the way. It's how to order your life, how to think about life differently. And Jesus had a lot of this stuff, folks. If you look in all the Gospels, Jesus says, you may have heard it said this, but I tell you this. He said things like, love your enemies. Now, we don't like to love her. We think that's the craziest thing to do, right? But Jesus says, love your enemies. He says, pray for those who persecute you. He says, give up everything, take up the cross, and follow me. These are mind-changing things. And Jesus says, when you do this, you are very, very close to that relationship that we once had in the garden. The problem is the belief part. That little thing. Pistuata, belief. God tells us all these things that we should pattern our life after. He showed us how we should pattern our life so that we could once again restore that relationship. He redeemed us so that we could have this relationship with God. The problem is this little thing called belief. Always the belief. Are you willing to walk through the gate and enter again into the Garden of Eden? Are you willing to take the risk to do the things that Jesus tells you to do in your life that will restore the fact that you are his King and show you a new way of loving that makes you a child of the King, or that reinforces your life as a child of the King? Because you're already a child of the King. He already redeemed you. We're just not living it. Are you willing to do that? That's called the kingdom of God. And we're going to spend all year talking about it. Probably the number one story on this is the rich young ruler who goes to Jesus. And he says, teach me how to live. And Jesus says, well, how are you living? He goes, I'm following all the commandments. I'm doing everything that I can. Jesus says, you lack one thing. That's the easy stuff, you know, following the commandments. Jesus says, give everything away and follow me. Do that one. And the guy ran away. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He didn't have enough faith to give up on what his mind told him of what he needed to do and how he should live his life and give all that up and simply follow Jesus. We're going to talk about this whole year because we are children of the King. He has redeemed us so that we can get so close to the kingdom of God. And that closeness exists after death. But it starts now in this life because of the King. In his name, amen.